This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Yehi Swuhib in Washington. Coming up on Africa News Tonight...
So this has been declared a national disaster, which means the government gets actively involved even in the burial of the victims. And the Zimbabwe National Army has also been on the ground along with the Civil Protection Unit.
That's reporter Kuzai Zinawashi on the damage in Zimbabwe from Cyclone Idai. Details next. Also, the derailment of a freight train in the DRC yesterday has killed at least 24 people. And suspected Islamist extremists carried out an attack on an army camp in Mali, killing up to 21 soldiers. We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story, powerful tropical cyclone Idai has brought strong winds and heavy rains to southeastern Africa, killing at least 166 people. The storm struck the coast of Mozambique Friday, causing damage and flooding. Malawi and Zimbabwe has also been pounded as the storm moves westward and weakens. Cyclone Idai has affected hundreds of thousands of people in a wide area. Reports say 90% of the city of Beira in Mozambique have been severely damaged or destroyed. The United Nations says more than 1.5 million people in the three countries have been affected. The UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, has appealed for $20 million in aid for the countries. Reporter Kuzai Zinawashi spoke to my colleague Mario Ritter Jr. about the damage in Zimbabwe and efforts to get aid to people who have lost everything.
Cyclone Idai has affected the eastern part of the country. Over 200 households and houses have been washed away. Infrastructure such as roads, hospitals are under siege. There hasn't been any electricity. As for the death toll is believed to be at 89 at the present moment. And the cyclone has moved to affect the southeast part of Zimbabwe as well, which is where Masvingo is.
What are local officials saying about the situation? Are they reporting on efforts to help those who are affected?
Yes. So this has been declared a national disaster, which means the government gets actively involved even in the burial of the victims. And the Zimbabwe National Army has also been on the ground along with the Civil Protection Unit. And there is also a delegation of ministers that have been on the ground as well, trying to assess the situation and see how best they can help out with the situation. So high on priority has been to clear the roads that were blocked by boulders and rubble during the floods. And also, I think it's also worth noting that Zimbabweans from all walks of life have united to donate towards this disaster. So even here in Harare and in Bulawayo, people are calling upon each other to donate clothes, food, anything really that can be useful to the victims in Chimanimani and other parts that have been affected.
The situation in Zimbabwe is very difficult economically, so people are sacrificing to help the people who suffered the storm in the eastern part of the country.
People are pulling from all walks of life, even the diaspora community. People, Zimbabweans living outside the country have also been sourcing funds to send back home. Musicians have been crowdfunding. As we speak, there's a music concert that is being planned to raise funds soon towards the disaster. Companies have also been pulling in and donating some funds as well towards the disaster and helping out. And because of this, the Civil Protection Unit has been working with the non-governmental organizations such as Red Cross to coordinate the efforts and make sure that resources are channeled to areas where they are needed the most.
What other efforts have you seen by NGOs or government agencies in Zimbabwe to alleviate suffering?
Well, the military had helicopters on standby, according to the Minister of Information. Red Cross is on the ground right now, also trying to help out. I know their representative has been calling for people to help out with immediate supplies that may help the situation, such as blankets, food, clothes, and medication for those people who may have been hit or who may have been injured during the floods. Zimbabwe is a highly polarized country, and one thing that has been inspiring is how Zimbabweans from all walks of life, politicians, are also attending to the situation. As we speak, the leader of the opposition, Nelson Chamisa, is in Chimanimani consoling the families. Everyone is pulling towards one cause. A hotel in Chimanimani Hotel, called on people to come and seek refuge at their hotel, and people have been sleeping in their conference rooms. Everyone is channeling resources towards that one disaster.
That was my colleague Mario Ritter Jr. speaking with reporter Kudzai Zinawashi from Harare. The derailment of a freight train in the Democratic Republic of the Congo yesterday has killed at least 24 people and injured at least 31 others. The dead and injured were stowaways since the train had no passenger cars. A police official told Agence France-Presse that most of those killed were children. He said cars were overturned and the number of dead might rise. The accident happened in the Kasai province in the central western part of the country. People with serious injuries have been taken to a hospital in Kakengi, where Dr. Jean-Claude Shimanga says workers are overwhelmed. The National Rail Company has confirmed the derailment, which is the third in the DRC, within about 1 month's time. Last month, five people died in a rail accident at a station in Kalenda. As the top U.S. diplomat for Africa visits Cameroon, pro-government groups are protesting what they call Tibor Nash's interference in Cameroon's internal affairs. Nash last week called on Cameroon to release opposition leader Maurice Kamto, who insists he won last year's presidential election, and also to intensify efforts for peace with Anglophone separatists. While the comments irked Cameroon authorities, and analysts say they should be considered an invitation to solve pressing human rights problems. Moki Edwin Kinzaka reports from Yaoundé.
A member of Cameroon's Observatory of Societal Development, a pro-government group, speaks to a crowd of 100 or so supporters and onlookers. Echoing officials, he denounces recent comments by United States and European Union officials as unacceptable interference in Cameroon's internal affairs. The U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, Tibor Nagy, and the European Union representative, Federica Mogherini, recently called on Cameroon to free opposition leader Maurice Kamto and 150 of his supporters. They also urged Cameroon authorities to work harder to stop the violence in its western Anglophone separatist regions. The coordinator for Monday's protest, Lilian Kulu Engulu, said the demonstrators want Nagy to hear them and take their message back to Washington.
L'Observatoire voudrait d'une part inviter le gouvernement des États-Unis d'Amérique.
He says an association of Cameroon's patriotic groups has come out to invite the government of America to be neutral and stop interfering in Cameroon's internal issues. America should help end the crisis in the English-speaking northwest and southwest regions, says Ngolu, by stopping Cameroonians based in the U.S. from funding what he calls terrorist and destabilizing Cameroon. The last comment refers to separatist leaders based in the U.S. who have appealed on social media for contributions to help the fighters back home. Communications Minister René Emmanuel Sadi last week said Cameroon was outraged by Nagy's statements. He has previously accused the U.S. of harboring separatist leaders. Aimé Manga of Cameroon Rights Watch, a local group, says officials should take Nagy's comments as helpful suggestions rather than criticism.
Eux-mêmes ne comprennent pas le sens des mots du sous-secrétaire d'État américain.
It is public knowledge that Cameroon has a serious political and social crisis, says Manga. Tibonagi's comments bring hope to many who want democracy to be purely and simply applied, he adds. Cameroon has detained Kamto and his supporters since January for taking part in anti-government demonstrations. They are being tried in military courts for charges that include rebellion and could face the death penalty. In comments made days before his arrival Sunday in Yaoundé, Nagy said it's not always positive to arrest opposition during times of crisis. He also called the death and suffering in Cameroon's rebellion heartbreaking and urged authorities to do more to end the fighting. Moki Edwin Kinzika for VOA News, Yaoundé.
Suspected Islamist extremists carried out an attack on an army camp in Mali, killing up to 21 soldiers in what the president called terrible acts by cowardly enemy. There was no immediate claim of responsibility for yesterday's attack on the Dayoura camp in the Mopti region, but it was condemned by the main Tuareg rebels and the ethnic Fulani vigilante group. Mali has been increasingly plagued by attacks by Al-Qaeda and Islamic State fighters, despite the presence of UN peacekeepers, 4,500 French troops, and a five-nation military force in the region. Witnesses said the attackers arrived in cars and on motorbikes and briefly seized the camp. They were reportedly commanded by an army colonel who had deserted. Seventeen past the hour, you were listening to African News Tonight on The Voice of America. The United States Department's new report on human rights around the world says Rwanda has updated the penal code on convictions of abusing detainees, but that numerous reports continue about use of the practice by the country's security forces. Human rights groups are urging the government to do better. They are debating implementation of NPM, the National Preventive Mechanism, which was ratified as the optional protocol to the UN Convention Against Torture. Eugene Wimana has more details from Kigali.
The country reports on human rights practices for 2018 that was released Wednesday reports alleged failures of the Rwandan government on several cases of human rights violations. The report says that as of September 14, the government had not investigated 104 cases of illegally detained individuals who were in many cases reportedly tortured in unofficial military detention centers between 2010 and 2016, as documented by the Human Rights Watch. According to the report, detainees described asphyxiation, electric shocks, mock executions, severe beatings, and other mistreatment employed by intelligence personnel to obtain information. The Deputy Secretary General of Rwanda Investigation Bureau, Isabel Kalihangabo, says the situation is getting better.
When the government decided to establish the Rwanda Investigation Bureau as an independent body in charge of investigation, the aim was to improve on the investigations, to professionalize that and make sure that all the investigations are done professionally in respect of human rights and contribute to the delivery of the justice. We have staff who have been trained in investigation, and we are investing in their capacity building.
The State Department report says the laws and bodies that have been set up to promote human rights seem to continue as theories. According to Jean-Sébastien Franc, who works for the Association for Prevention of Torture, explains the mechanism would permit to visit detentions without even notice to prevent and report mistreatment of detainees.
The Human Rights Commission, whatever, we have the power of choosing the place to visit and the person to talk to. Normal leaders of detentions select who to talk to, and that makes the data unreliable. This mechanism also permits unannounced visits, and that is new. And it is very important because it will help figure out what happens to detainees when no activist is watching. This is different. Leaders could change and set up things just because they know that there are some visitors coming in detention.
Human rights activists are still debating the environment that may hinder the effectiveness of this mechanism. In several trials, detainees have been claimed they were held in a non-security facilities. Jean-Didier Kairanga, who works for the United Nations Development Programme, wonders how information from virtual detentions will be gathered.
When you come to the place to be visited, you know, nowadays the places to visit are not only physical addresses, they can also be virtual. So what are the mechanisms to also have access to information that are not based at the facilities, for example, that the commission will be visiting? And then they can also have access to all information, whether physical places, but also, and if possible, virtual places.
The National Commission for the Human Rights was formally designated to implement this national preventive mechanism. However, human rights activists and dissident politicians have been criticizing the commission for letting the government block access to detention monitoring. In June 2018, the UN Subcommittee on Prevention of Torture cancelled its planned visit to the country. It had been postponed in October 2017 due to obstructions imposed by the government, such as limiting access to places of detention. Rwanda is praised for rapid economic growth from the 1994 genocide against the Tutsi, but several human rights organizations point a finger on persistent violations of human rights, especially for opposition players. Eugene Wimana for VOA News, Kigali, Rwanda.
Shares in aviation company Boeing fell more than 2% in early trading today, a day after officials in Ethiopia said last week's Ethiopian Airlines crash may have similarities with an Indonesian crash last year. The planes in both accidents were Boeing 737 MAX 8 jets. In both, the planes went down shortly after takeoff and all on board perished. Boeing grounded all 737 MAX jets last week. One particular area of scrutiny is a new automated system meant to prevent planes from stalling. It is thought to have contributed to last year's Lion Air crash in Indonesia. Ethiopia's Transport Minister Dagmawit Moges yesterday said the data recorders from Flight 302 indicated similarities with the Lion Air crash, but he did not say what they were. Also Sunday, thousands marched in the Ethiopian capital Addis Ababa, accompanying 17 empty caskets at funerals for the 17 Ethiopians killed in the crash. Families of the victims were offered charred earth from the crash site to bury because investigators have not been able to retrieve and identify all the bodies yet. The World Food Programme, WFP, has suspended food distribution in Uganda's Karamoja region following reports that recipients of its Super Cereal suffered suspected food poisoning. One person has died and scores have reportedly been hospitalized after eating the fortified blended food. Catherine Nambi reports from Kampala.
Over the weekend, Latame Health Center in Amdati District in Uganda's Karamoja region was overwhelmed by a flood of patients who were admitted after allegedly consuming food aid from WFP. Medics say the patients had symptoms of mental disorder, confusion and high fever, among others. Waswa Musokoi is the chief administrative officer for Amdat District.
After eating the food, they got a reaction of acute psychosis, according to our health staff. So they were rushed to Amdat Hospital, and the cases were handled. We have responded very rapidly.
Uganda government and WFP have now embarked on investigations to ascertain the link between the cereal and the sickness. Emmanuel Ainebiona is the senior public relations officer at the Ministry of Health.
Samples have been dispatched to the Directorate of Government Analytical Laboratory and also the Central Public Health Laboratories to establish whether really it is a case of food poisoning or something else, because about 95 people are currently admitted in various health centers, and they were presenting with symptoms of suspected food poisoning.
The World Food Body has released a statement indicating suspension of the distribution of the cereal as investigations are carried out. WFP is also supporting local governments in the affected communities to sensitize them against consuming the cereals before the cause of the ailment is determined. According to WFP, the super cereal is a fortified blended food given to pregnant or breastfeeding women and children between 6 and 59 months through 44 government health centers across Karamoja region and refugee settlements. It is meant to help provide nutrients to the women and children needed in the first 1,000 days, as inadequate nutrition at this time can irreversibly hamper cognitive and physical development. WFP did not say whether similar sicknesses have been recorded in any of the 79 countries where they distribute food. Calls to its Kampala office went unanswered. This is Catherine Nambi for VOA News in Kampala.
And a Nigerian native has given birth to 6 children in 9 minutes. The 4 boys and 2 girls were reported to be in stable condition after the deliveries in Houston, Texas on Friday. Their mother, Telma Chiaka, was doing well. She is a naturalized U.S. citizen. The hospital says the odds of having sextuplets are 1 in 4.7 billion. And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Bill Werkinger, and our engineer, John Dryden, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, an exclusive interview with the Vice President of Malawi, Saulos Chilema. The Malayan politician and VOA's Shaka Sali discuss democracy and the upcoming elections. An in-depth look at Malawi's future on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning into the Sunny Side of Sports Monday through Friday at 1630 and 1830 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports, or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.